Money 93.7 FM, your business radio.
We are an entrepreneur at Money. Now, today I am joined by Jito Kayumba, who is a partner and managing partner at Kakula Capital PLC. He has also served as a non-executive director at Airtel Networks Zambia. This is since March 2016. He's also responsible for advisory services in Kukula. Did I get the pronunciation right?
As in Kukula Capital?
Yes.
It's Kukula, yeah.
Kukula, okay. Kukula. Okay.
Some people say Kukula. Growth, it's growth. Initially, the company was called Growth Capital, but we said, hey,
Growth
guys.
Growth Capital.
When Zambia, let's find a word that's more close to our roots and our local languages, which essentially means growth. So that's Kukula.
So basically, what we're looking at today is how venture capital is helping entrepreneurs in Zambia. Okay, so that is what we're looking at today. And if you out there do have a question for Mr. Jito Kayumba, just make sure that you send us a WhatsApp. You can send us a question on WhatsApp. That is on 0967-144-220. Or if you do want to talk to him personally live in studio, give us a call on 0211-252-227. And that is how we get to interact on Entrepreneur at Money. My first question to you, Mr. Kayumba, is how long have you been an entrepreneur?
That's a very good question. First of all, I need to put out something. Just call me Jito, please. I'm not that old. People call me Mr. Kayumba. I get messages on Twitter, Mr. Jito, Mr. This. I say, I'm still a young man.
It's actually good that you've actually mentioned to say, just call me Jito, unlike me, just... You know, someone will get offended. She just called me Jito. Why?
Yeah,
how?
No, we're a different generation. And of course, you know, as I go into what we're going to talk about today, there's a few issues around our generation that we need to do differently in order to be successful as entrepreneurs. But to answer your question, I've essentially been an entrepreneur since, I'd say, 2010. Yeah, that's essentially when I got into entrepreneurship. I took a stab at all sorts of things. I had a little trucking business. I you know, was part of a dairy business. You know, and then moved more into corporate finance advisory, doing mergers and acquisitions. That's when things became a bit more closer to my passion, which essentially became what I do now, which is private equity / venture capital, which can be interchangeable. It's essentially the same business model, but the difference is venture capital is more early stage, where you invest slightly smaller amounts of money in businesses that are within, let's say, 5 years old. And then you basically, it's more growth capital. But then private equity is when you're taking a more mature business from one level to the other, using the exact same investment methodology, where you place money in the business and then you acquire shareholding as a financial institution. So it's not Mkongole, right? We're not, you don't need to pay back the money. We become partners in the business.
All right. And what really ensured you to just, you know, become one?
It was, I'll tell you, I believe, first of all, in the power of the tongue, and I believe in the power of really understanding your goals, your dreams, putting them down on paper and working your butt off to, you know, towards it. And of course, luck plays a role, but I also believe that luck increases the harder you work, and opportunities do come your way, and that, you know, it elevates your chances of luck. So what enabled that to happen was, first of all, knowing and understanding what venture capital was at a very young age. I would watch CNN, or I would sometimes, and then when Bloomberg started showing on our local televisions, and I would see these people in suits, in really nicely tailored suits, speaking very crazy gibberish that I didn't understand.
That you don't even understand. You're like, what are they talking about?
But I admired what they were doing. I didn't know what they were doing, but all I saw underneath was venture capitalist. I was like, I need to know what that is. And I was obsessed with the concept of venture capital. And then I spent so much time learning about it, networking, meeting with investors, meeting with entrepreneurs, until just serendipity just put everything together. And that's really the long and short of of it and how I got into it. Of course, there's a much longer story, but I don't know how much time you have. I'll take literally the whole day.
No, we'll go with the short story because you have mentioned there's a whole lot that was involved. You had to sit, you had to learn.
Yeah.
You actually got interested and were like, wow, what are these guys talking about?
That's
I want to be like them.
Absolutely.
And yeah. And also, we're looking at financial entrepreneurship here. Mm-hmm. Somebody would ask there, but why financial entrepreneurship? There's a whole lot of other entrepreneurship that one can do.
That's true. You know, we're built differently. And mm-hmm. I recently tweeted around how people should avoid competing with others when they should truly compete with themselves and recognize where their strengths lie.
Yeah,
I mean, not everyone is meant to be, you know, let's say trading in bread or mm-hmm. or being a farmer or being a banker or being a lawyer. We all have different skills and we all form part of this societal ecosystem. Mm-hmm. We all add value. So my heart was very much focused so much on this sector for probably because of a saying I once read, which really, I think this essentially changed my life. It said, first of all, as a young person, I wanted to be, like many people, wanted to be really successful. And the initial goal was more financial success. I think that's changed a lot because I've gotten to appreciate the other things of life that are not monetary or, you know, I appreciate relationships more. I appreciate friendships more. I appreciate God more. I appreciate, you know, things of that nature. But from a financial success perspective, I read somewhere that no man can become rich without himself enriching others. And then when I got to understand what venture capital was, it essentially captures that essence. Is you invest in businesses, in people, mm-hmm. you enrich those businesses, and in exchange, because you're a partner in those businesses, you build wealth yourself. So so that's really the root and the core of why I went into that.
Okay, I love that saying where you say no man can become rich mm-hmm. unless you enrich others, and you know it's a saying that is going to teach you to build others even as you build yourself. So as you build others, it also helps you build yourself and whatever it is that you want to venture in. But for now, Jito, we'll take a short break and we will be back and continue. This is where you get in and just tell us how venture capital is actually helping in entrepreneurship in Zambia. We'll be back shortly.
Money 93.7 FM, your business radio. Money 93.7 FM, your business radio.
Good morning. So we are still on Entrepreneur and Money. And of course, I am joined by Jito, who will just be explaining to us what venture capital is and how it is helping entrepreneurs in Zambia. Jito, before we went on a break, you were talking about how you started and why you actually chose financial entrepreneurship and all that. You did mention venture capital and how you got interested in this. But my biggest question right now is obviously somebody is asking, you keep saying venture capital. What is this venture capital that we're talking about?
Okay, fantastic. So we'll take the two words, venture. Mm-hmm. What is a venture? A venture is a business, mm-hmm. Any type of business, any sort of entrepreneurial endeavor. Capital is essentially is cash that goes towards supporting the growth of a business.
Okay.
So venture capital is money that goes into businesses, but the manner in which it goes into businesses is the difference. So most people in our market, so just in general, are accustomed to the idea of debt. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to the bank, you borrow money. I get asked questions, what are your rates for your venture capital? So there's no rates. It's not debt. You come in with X amount of money, depending on the needs of the business. And then you essentially, as part of your agreement, the provider of that finance gets shareholding in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we take a few examples of businesses we've invested in, you know, companies like Better Now Finance, mm-hmm. Which is a microfinance company. There's .com Zambia, which is a, you can call it a e-commerce business, also doing a lot of, you know, payment systems and things of that nature. We've done Post.net, mm-hmm. Morebeef. There's quite a number. A lot of new businesses actually in Solwezi. We're, you know, sitting within the sort of mining supply chain, mm-hmm. Trying to capitalize on that growth. So really the simple answer to the question of what is venture capital is it is investment capital that is acquired by way of Providing shares or in exchange for shares.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's more of I put in this much and get this much shares, and it's more we're more of partners and
Absolutely.
Like me lending you money and wanting it back at some point.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we share the risk. And you might ask, how does a venture capitalist make money?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we put the money in that business, yes. the idea is, you know, we're sitting within the business as partners, and we want the business to grow. We want the business to make money. So,
okay.
first of all, you make money off dividends. So, at the end of every period, as money accumulates, you know, from an accounting perspective, on your income statement, there's what they call net income that, you know, obviously comes in every month,
every month,
you can look at it on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
That flows through to the balance sheet and sits within retained earnings. Now, you know, of course, I'll talk about governance and so on a little bit later, but essentially, our value sits there,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we want businesses that we invest in to acquire assets that generate more cash for the business, that enables us to extract that value together with our fellow shareholders who
okay.
founded the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the last piece is really on, you know, as a company grows, as its cash flows increase and so on, it also increases what we call valuation of the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same way land appreciates in value, a business appreciates in value based on its performance. And you can calculate valuation based on future revenues and so on. And if you do, let's say, decide to sell the business together with the promoter of the business or the founder, then, you know, the money you put in, you could quadruple it or even more
yeah.
out, which is a very common practice in venture capital.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's where you make your most money,
oh,
is when
okay.
you're exiting the investment
the
in
investment.
5-10 years. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's very interesting. But before we just get into the brief background of venture capital, one would ask to say, okay, so how do I access this?
That's a very good question and a very important question. The way you access venture capital is, I'll answer this question in two ways. The one number one question, in fact, the majority of people out there listening are people who are budding entrepreneurs. They've not yet started, so
mm-hmm.
they're looking to start, and
mm-hmm.
they want venture capital to start the business.
Yeah.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but accessing startup capital is very difficult. Very, very difficult. Accessing venture capital when you're already running the business is much easier.
It's much easier.
Because, you see, it's all about risk. So myself, as a venture capitalist, the way we work is, of course, we utilize our own funds.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also pull funds from investors, external investors.
Okay.
It could be pension funds. It could be high net worth individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It could be all sorts of anyone with money who's looking at a long-term return. You know,
right.
looking to place money with us for 10 years. And then we make that money work. And then, of course, depending on the performance of the fund,
mm-hmm.
You know, return that money pro rata depending on that performance. So really, we don't want to lose the money. So we have to make decisions that don't result in that money disappearing. And that's the first rule of investing. Don't lose money. Of
mm-hmm.
course, rule number two is make money. So the point is, if you look at the statistics of early stage businesses or startups, there's over 80% fail rate. So that's the reason why there isn't capital available for startups. I'm not saying that it's impossible for a startup to access capital. It is still very much possible. What you have to essentially do is that you have to prove your capacity to execute
okay.
by testing the case, by even if it's at a very, very small scale, by showing us that there is sufficient market for this, for what you're looking to produce or the
mm-hmm.
service you're looking to provide. In addition to that, and I think what mitigates risk even further is when you have certain contracts. Like, I'll give an example. I talked about how I've done advisory for companies doing, you know, power stations.
Yes.
Now, the reason why a person can have what we call greenfield or startup power station and get capital is because of a very important document called a power purchase agreement.
Okay.
This is what Zesco comes to a power developer and says, look, okay, you guys look serious. We're willing to sign this contract guaranteeing you that the day you turn on these turbines and you're generating power, we're going to buy it.
Right.
And to a banker, to a financier, whether it be, you know, venture capital or you name it, is going to be interested in that
mm-hmm.
because there's some guarantee that, yes, the customer is ready and they're a credit-worthy customer. So in the case of entrepreneurs out there, if you're able to show some sort of proof that you can lock in clients, you know, even it's not easy to do that, but it's possible. I don't believe in things being impossible. So let's say, you know, you want to set up a dairy farm and Pamela said, look, we want an outgrower. We'll buy your milk If you acquire the cows, if you get the land, if you get the pasture, all that stuff. And then a venture capitalist could potentially back that, seeing that there's already market for it. So that's the first part of how do you access venture capital on this on the startup side. It's difficult, yes. But it's possible. Now, on the side of a business being already operating, whether it be 1 year, 2 years, you know, that now the risk is mitigated because we've seen that there's a financial track record. So the first rule in venture capital is keep financial records. If you're a, small business and you're looking to get capital, same way, I mean, banks also ask for the same thing. But venture capitalists too want to see the historical performance of the business. Okay. And the reality also about that is, you know, people are shy about if their business is not making money. That's not the problem.
Oh, yes. But most people will not say that I'm not making money. Yeah. And,
businesses, it takes the average time frame in which companies become cash flow positive is roughly 5 years. So people shouldn't be shy about that. So we can look at a business. We've been trained. We've been doing this for a long time. So we understand this game. And if someone comes to me and they show me their business, it's fledgling, it's struggling. But by looking at the financial statements for, let's say, 3 years, I can tell, okay, these are the type of assets that are missing. This is the type of gearing that it requires. This is the type of, you know, cash flow buffer it needs in working in terms of working capital. And this is how you can turn this business around. This is the type of strategy you need. These are the costs that need to be cut. This is the type of expertise you need to be brought in. And once you bring in financial management and you know, having audited annual accounts, it makes an entrepreneur a lot more alive to the reality and the performance of the business. It's like, to me, a financial statement is like a speedometer in a car. You know how you're moving, how well you're doing, based on the fact that you can measure your performance. And that's extremely important. So that's something to keep to have with you in order to access venture capital. Another element people overlook is corporate governance. I mean, I'm crazy about corporate governance, because really that's ultimately what keeps an entrepreneur accountable, aside from the financial statements, which is part of corporate governance. This essentially means having a board of directors. Even if you're a small business, I'll give you a few examples of success stories. You know, there's this young entrepreneur called Njava, right? He set up a company called Musanga together with some partners, managed to bring in investors. What made Njava's business attractive is the fact that from day one, and he's a teachable guy. He asked me once, you know, a few years ago, hey, you know, what are the things I need to do in order to get capital in my business? I said, you know what, get your corporate, because he's a young man. I think at the time he must have been like 22 or something. Says, at your age, have, you know, a group of adults in your business that they're not operational, but let them sit on your board and give you that oversight. Investors love that.
Okay.
In my business, I mean, in Kukula, I mean, of course, I have business partners and so on, you know, co-shareholders. But we have an independent board of directors who tell us when we're doing wrong, when we're, what we need to do. You know, even they help us mitigate risk. They help provide guidance on which direction to take. They help us ensure that we're, you know, keeping our financials in order. We're doing the right reporting to our investors and so on. So that really is attractive. So that's on the corporate governance. Management is important. I think being able to execute is key. Whether you own a bread business and you've got the right bakers in place, you've got the right distribution. So execution and management is absolutely key. You have to prove that you have the right focus, you've got the right management team in place, and you can execute. Another element that people should never overlook is the issue of personal character and integrity.
Okay.
You know, you find that, let's say, someone has in their past been convicted, or you find that, you know, they involved in fights in a bar, and or there's a bad story about them online, and so you have to kind of, you know, try to make your image, your just the way people perceive you, your reputation, as clean as possible.
Okay.
Because people will do due diligence on you the same
way.
They
will, yes, obviously they will.
Absolutely. So you know, talk about character, we're talking about corporate governance, audited financials, strong management, business focus. Here's another thing I'll tell you that happens, and this is a huge misconception among Zambian entrepreneurs. People come saying, okay, so here, I've got this milling company I want to set up, but I've also got a fish farm. Oh, yeah, then I'm also doing chickens. Already we get turned off. Like, come on.
Which one is it?
Yeah. Because the reality is, look at the entire Forbes list and ask yourself one question. How did all those people become billionaires? You find that it's always from one business. But then when you find that they're diversified, it's not because they're running different businesses. It's because they've invested in those businesses. So, you know, I'll give you an example. So If you let me think of a diversified position. So let's say you're a shareholder in Airtel, for example. Mm-hmm. You get shares in that business. You could be passive because there's a management team, there's a board, all these structures, it's regulated by ZICTA. There's so much regulation, so much structure, so much governance that you don't have to run the business. You can just show up when your dividend check is ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. That's how you diversify. It's more from an investment perspective, not from a management perspective.
Not from a management perspective. Okay.
Exactly. Because you need mastery. Because I believe that you could be the difference between Simba Milling Millimill and, I don't know, a random milling company that hasn't honed its craft, it would be apparent. And the market will respond to that. People will prefer, and in a highly competitive sector like milling, you want to make sure that, you know your stuff extremely well. And you differentiate yourself. Mm-hmm. And the only way you do that is by being committed, by being focused, by mastering your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And mastery is what makes people money. That's what makes you want to buy that iPhone. Buy that Samsung, as opposed to that other product that is sort of somewhat confused because the founder wasn't too sure which direction you should take. So really, no matter what you do, there's no business I feel that is lower than another.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be growing tomatoes, you're farming, or you're doing something complex like you're doing apps or e-commerce. I don't care what you do. What matters most is do it well. If you're trimming a hedge, if you come to me, you've got a business, say, hey, I want to do gardening.
Mm-hmm.
I'll think through that. I mean, and you tell me you're the best gardener in Zambia and you show me your work, that could be worth investing in because there's a market for that.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what you do, just do it well. So those are really the key elements of how you acquire venture capital support. If you can show those, mm-hmm. plus, of course, and I always leave the business plan last because I feel like these other elements are more important. The business plan, All these other elements make the business plan work.
They make, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very true. That's very true. Mm-hmm. So you are on Entrepreneur at Money, and if you have a few questions for Jito, just send us a text message on WhatsApp or a voice note that is on 0967-144-220, and we'll definitely get back to you. This is Money FM, and this is a peak up until the hour of 14. We'll be back with Jito just after this.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Right about now, we are on Entrepreneur at Money, and we're joined by Jito Kayumba, who's just explaining on what venture capital is, how it is actually helping entrepreneurs in Zambia. He has talked about a lot of educative stuff and some of the things that we need to know. Now, right now, Jito, obviously there's somebody who's asking, okay, yeah, so I know what venture capital is. I know some of the things that I need to do or how I need to access it.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the whole process? Because obviously they know, okay, so I need to do this. I need to have everything in check and whatnot. But then what is the process like?
Mm-hmm.
Will I give up during the whole process and go like, okay, you know what? Because there's need for somebody to know just the full process and go like, okay.
Yeah.
So when this is happening, it's not need for me to give up. I just still need to wait and continue on.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think one of the things I need to touch on before I go into the answer of that is the issue of giving up when things are difficult. That's very unfortunate. I'll be very... I love my people, so I need to, and I say this out of love, but the reality is a lot of our people are very sensitive. We get started on something, the moment it's getting difficult we fizzle
just
out.
Just go like, I can't do it.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons. And this is, I think I'm a preacher of this huge thing, because this, it really angers me, the fact that we control 5% of this economy from an equity perspective. The cash that flows through this economy is not in our hands. We fight in the markets and all sorts of platforms politically, but if we took that same energy and applied it towards business and entrepreneurship, we'd be far more successful. We'd be driving much higher GDP numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Our economy would be probably faring a lot better. And there'll be more capital retained here because there's capital flight happening all the time. There's, illicit financial flows, through expatriation of profits and so on, which is all legal, but it's unfortunately erodes the wealth that should be staying within the country.
Mm-hmm.
But to get back to your question is, There isn't really a process. The process is get in touch. You know, you can email. You could ask for a meeting, ask for an appointment. Of course, there's, you know, we ask for certain things. Mm-hmm. Okay, show us your business plan. Okay. You know, it's fluid. It's very organic. And this is something I've experienced all over the world. You know, I've visited private equity firms, venture capital firms in the UK, in the US, in Denmark, in South Africa. They have a very similar approach.
Okay.
Somebody won't look at something if they don't feel an emotional, like something clicks in their mind that this is worth looking into. Mm-hmm. And usually the first indication is the person, the character of the person, the hunger. Mm-hmm. I remember, I'll give you an example. This very well-known entrepreneur called Mawano Kambeo, right? Mm-hmm. He's behind .com Zambia. There was no process there. We met at a breakfast. I just loved what he was talking about. We were just hanging, you know, we happened to be in the same place at the same time. And he's talking about his dreams of doing bus tickets and so on. And I was hooked. I said, this guy is creating a solution. These are problems we have in this country. And I want to invest in solutions. And because of that, it resulted in saying, hey, come over to my office on Wednesday. Let's meet. Then he didn't have all the things I listed. I said, let's start working on these audited financials. Get them. You know, bring me your business plan. Let me look at your business. I visited the business. So I was doing within, I don't know, 6 months or thereabout, we invested. Yeah, it was a $500,000 investment. And the company is doing very well. It's growing. It's changed its business model a little bit just to, you know, of course, economic conditions sometimes force you to be agile. You have to change. So to answer your question again is reach out, you know, come through to the office, ask questions. There's a team of associates and so on. There's myself. I mean, people ask me questions on Twitter. I respond to most of them. My email is out there. We've got a website, kukulacapital.com. My email address is there. You know, send through your business plan or ask for an appointment. Let's sit and talk. Let me use this maybe controversial example. Venture capital is like dating. You get started by getting to know each other. You get to know each other, you get to understand the business. And then the other thing is there has to be a sense of compatibility, mutual compatibility. Mm-hmm. I don't want to come looking as though I'm the person standing in from a standpoint of superiority because we're the ones with the funds and the other party has the business. Mm-hmm. We also want to be in certain businesses that we feel so we also have to prove to you that we are worth your time. And so so we come with a level of equality because that's how we want to be even as business partners moving forward. And that's also an important thing is most companies, the large sort of businesses in Zambia, actually family businesses, I would say the larger SMEs or the mid-sized businesses are family businesses. So for you to have a venture capitalist sit in your business as a shareholder, it's almost like adding a family member. Mm-hmm. So that comfort has to be there. So the personal element is very important. And really having clarity in what you want, knowing the amount that you need, knowing exactly what amount of capital is going to take your business from where it's at to the next level. So that really is what it is. And be bold, you know, take that step. We've had people, when, you know, Noncoma approached us, asked a few questions about what we do, and he says, Lord, I really like what you do here. I want to show you my business. We saw Better Now. We thought it was a great business. We invested. Cuthbert Melindi, who, you know, was at the time the majority shareholder of Post.net, same thing, you know. You look at the business, you say, this is fantastic, get into it. And, you know, we've done, you know, numerous deals based on nothing looks the same. Mm-hmm. There's no application process because people are accustomed to a very step-by-step thing.
Yeah, people are accustomed to that, to say A, B, C, D. Yeah.
Life's not like that. Uh-huh. If I want a loan, I'll tell you my attitude. If I want to build a mall, let's say I want to build Foxtel Court, right? Mm-hmm. Where, that's where our office is. And I want to get money from the bank. I'm not going to start asking I'm going to go and sit with the right person. I'm going to find out who's the right person to talk to. I'll sit with them. I will be as persistent as can be, call them, talk to them, you know, and of course they'll have requirements. I need X, Y, Z, and I'll get those requirements together. I'm going to ensure that the deal happens. So of course, I mean, we're very honest. If we can't invest in something, we give feedback saying, hey, look, I think for these reasons, we can't invest in this, but you know, you can come back. We've had two deals happen in that manner. There's a machining company in Solwezi where we turned it down, but then after a year we saw the market conditions and we realized the gap in the market and we became alive to the opportunity and then went back, say, hey, can we evaluate your business? And then of course they were gracious enough to allow us in there. So that's how it is.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Lastly, before I let you go, Jito, just how is this actually helping Zambian entrepreneurs thrive? Because there's a lot, and somebody will like, you know what, this is really convincing. This is better than me getting a loan and having to pay back.
Yep.
And or just help us just understand how exactly it is and helping a lot of entrepreneurs out there.
Great. We don't have a huge track record of venture capital in Zambia. Mm-hmm. I think we are the only locally domiciled venture capital firm in Zambia. In fact, the time that we got started in 2010, there wasn't any other business. Of course, we have foreign entities set up. I mean, I'll even mention them. I mean, I don't look at this as competition. We collaborate, we feed off each other, we co-invest, we sometimes buy them out, or they would buy us out of a company. So I'm happy to mention them. There's Inside Capital, there's 2-9 Group, there is Growfin, there's Business Partners. There's a few guys sitting out of London and in Nairobi who fly in and out doing deals. So, but they're not very visible, and that's the thing about venture capitalists, is that they're kind of under the radar. We don't advertise, we're not looking for clients, we deal mostly with investors. So we have a list of the type of businesses we want to invest in, and then we go into the market very quietly and see what, you know. So because of the manner in which we invest, it's very long term, it's very patient. So we choose to follow that methodology. Now the question of how is it helping businesses, I'll give you an example. So when we got into Post.net, right, it probably had maybe five branches max. The capital we put in enabled the company to expand, have more outlets, sit in the top malls in the country, have good storefront fit out, have, you know, being able to have float, because, you know, if you're doing agency for Zesco and, you know, mobile money and so on, you need to have float, you need to have cash. So, and, you know, of course you're doing agency for Western Union and DHL and so on. So it enabled that business to grow in a manner that also enables large agencies to take us on and say, you know what, we'd like you to be our agency for this money transfer service or XYZ. So number one, capital does acquire the necessary assets that enable a business to fulfill its value proposition. That's one. And the business can grow on account of that. Number two is really having an active, skilled investor. So I may not know much about dairy, for example, though I did have a dairy investment some many years ago, but in this new dairy business that we've just got into in Solwezi, an example of our value add is looking at it from a highly efficient perspective, not trying it out. Most farmers will get a few cows and maybe get one or two whoop milking equipment. We look at it in a very scientific way. We bring in experts, you know, from parts of the world where they've got the most efficient dairy production. We put in systems that allow for the efficient cultivation of the crop, which, you know, of course, the animals feed on. We know the right breed. And we also know how to optimize production. So on one hand, so this is an example of optimization, of strategy, and of course, corporate governance. And then the other thing I would say the value add is, together with the entrepreneur, we can make decisions around, should we exit together? Should we sell this business on to a competitor? Should we, you know, yeah, because let's say you've been running your business for, so let me give you an example, right? So let's say Money FM, right, as a company, at some point becomes an investment with Kukula, and let's say we have a 40% shareholding, and we want to grow it. Make it a, you know, a digital platform, and it's, you know, not just nationwide, but it's in the region. It becomes a competitor to Bloomberg, you know, it opens up a TV station. And so we're talking about that kind of strategy that allows for massive growth, and then also for a level of, if you want to do a merger or an acquisition. Okay. So let's say we decide to make a bold move and say, let's merge with CNBC, which is also a business platform. And then we could do that because of the corporate finance skills that we have.
Okay.
So the value add is quite broad. It's mostly technical and strategy and finance and some of the more technical elements.
Wow, it is quite massive. Okay, thank you so much, Jito, for just joining me today on Entrepreneur and Money. But before I let you go, is there anything else that you just like to communicate to the listener out there?
I think some of these things that people say, particularly on the motivational part, sounds like cliche, sounds corny, but I'm a huge believer. I don't come from much myself. I've been privileged by knowledge, and knowledge is what brought me to this, and desire. I've been hungry my whole life, still hungry right now for deals, for business, to grow. I'm passionate, You might even hear a little bit of it in my voice. And I feel like people out there, get passionate. This is your country. Mm-hmm. You know, I tweet about all sorts of thoughts regularly. So some of these things, you know, you might have heard them before or read them on my Twitter page. But, you know, this is your country. You know this country well. You know your people. You know what they consume.
True.
Make stuff for them to consume.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how much you understand them. And that insight can make you a very successful entrepreneur. And be bold. Don't be afraid. You have nothing to lose. I had nothing to lose. Nobody in my life, if people saw me, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, they'd mm-hmm. have never, ever imagined I'd be where I'm at today. Because that passion, that belief really brought me here. And I know for a fact that I'm no better than people out there. And I know mm-hmm. that if they apply themselves in a passionate, in an aggressive way, they could exceed expectations and they could achieve their full potential. So I really encourage, you know, entrepreneurs, get started. Even if you don't have the money, just get started. Ask your uncle, that rich uncle of yours that you haven't called in months, or that friend, or use your savings. Do something to get started, and then eventually come see me and we can talk. Maybe we'll be business partners one day.
Okay. Thank you very much once again for joining me today at Entrepreneur at Money. And thank you also for listening in on Money FM Radio. Remember, you can also catch us online. It is www.moneyfmzambia.com.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.